Well, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, this is such a great topic because we are going to talk about midlife. And I think it never gets spoken about enough. We talk all about remaining youthful, and then we talk about like aging process, but midlife is where it's at. So Natalie Jill is a really wonderful motivator. I met her at Can't Be More, Shalene Johnson's amazing conference for women over 40. And Natalie's a renowned midlife fat loss expert. She really has revolutionized how women approach health optimization and aging. She has a gift for simplifying really complicated health topics, and she empowers us all to kind of want to transform and reclaim your vitality. And she's top-rated host of her own podcast, Midlife Conversations with Natalie Jill. She is definitely changing up the cultural narratives around age and your potential and how you really can pivot in your midlife and change that second version of your life that's coming up. You got to have the right mindset and the right strategy, but she's worked on over 250,000 women's bodies and has two best-selling fat loss books that have sold out in stores nationwide. And she's even been on the Doctor's TV show. She has more than 3 million followers globally, and she is a powerhouse. Welcome, Natalie.
Thanks so much. Quite the introduction there. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so excited to talk to you a little bit more. I think one of the big stigmas of like getting to be over 40 or over 50 is just the whole concept that kind of life is over and that your
Oh,
expiration date
gosh.
has come. And so it's such a cultural stigma. Like, I feel like when Cindy Crawford turned 50 and like that was it. She was done. Modeling career over, life was over. It turned it over to your young daughter. What do you
Well, I mean, I've had those stories in my head too. I'm not going to lie. So I want to just reassure women that, like, that's not an unusual thought for midlife. I think we have been raised that way. We've seen, especially some of us that were born in the 70s, early, we were taught about beauty and being youthful and all the things. So it's not unusual that we start feeling that way. It's not uncommon. And then we start. What I think starts happening is things start changing on our bodies and our health. And then we get validated by TV or magazines or social media or our friends saying, gosh, aging sucks. And I had those beliefs too. So I want to be real about that first. What I had to realize was that we have the power to change that narrative. And that doesn't mean you're going to go change everybody else's narrative, but we have the power to change our negative and our narrative. So if we look at aging as it sucks, everything's falling apart. I don't like what's happening to me. It's harder to lose weight. I don't feel good. If we look at everything through that lens and then people validate that and say, you're right, it sucks, we will stay stuck there. So it's up to us and our brain to say, I'm not buying into that. That is not what I choose to believe. I am going to start telling myself that aging's amazing, that I could get stronger, that I could get better, that this is. I'm going to look for that. And when you do that shift, you start attracting other information that supports that. So it really has to be a decision first that you don't want to live in that zone. Because if we want to stay in that zone of everything sucks and everything's falling apart, we're going to keep attracting that. And that's what we're going to keep believing.
It really is so culturally driven into our heads. I think this concept of embracing aging is like it's a beautiful blossoming into like this, maturity and confidence and strength in who you are. It's a really important conviction. You talk a little bit about you often say that age is not a limit, and you coach women. What are these mindset blocks that women most commonly have, and how do you overcome that?
Great question. Well, the first thing is basically what I just said, that they will believe that aging has to suck. So they come in with aging sucks. I've already been told it sucks. Everyone around me says it sucks. And now I've got pain in my body. So that's validating it sucks. My face is falling. So it sucks. And I'm getting thick in the middle. It sucks. And now my doctor said, yeah, you're right. You're in menopause or you're aging. You have to accept it. So they have this belief that's being validated. So that's the first thing. They haven't made this up. They're believing it. So when I tell someone we got to look at your mindset, they don't typically like that. Like, what do you mean I have to look at my mindset? Well, what I mean by that is you have to look at this story that you've been believing since you were young. I mean, if you think back, you were afraid to turn 30, you're afraid to turn 40, and now 50, and now you're scared about 60 and 70 and beyond. So we have to realize our mind, our belief set has to change. For example, Dr. K, if it was very established that we get thinner as we age. Like, let's just say that you just are told you get
Let's say
thinner as you
Ozempic
age,
arrives on
right? But
the
even before Ozempic, like, we get thinner as we age. If that was the truth and that's what you believed, then if you were not having that reality, you wouldn't go, this sucks, this is age. You would say, why is it not working for me right now? I better get figure out how to get there. Same thing if you thought, I'm supposed to get stronger as I age. You would start working towards that. So the mindset's very powerful. Whatever we believe, whatever we focus on, we're going to bring to fruition. Now, this is not woo-woo. This is not just, think and sit there and it's just going to happen. But what it does create is a new focus for us. And if I can share just a little story about this. So I was, if you were to like Google me, you would see that I was a fitness expert for years. That was what I was known for, like in my 40s. I was on covers of magazines. I was a fitness expert. I taught women fitness. I taught them fat loss. And what happened was, as I was approaching 50, I started to have a lot of things go wrong with my body, a lot of injuries, the thickening in the middle. I was tired. I had hot flashes around the clock. I started having thinning hair. I had a lot of things happening to me that made me second guess what I knew. So I thought, I used to tell women, oh, it doesn't matter your age, you'll always be fit. You can always eat this way. And I started to really question my own knowledge. I'm like, this isn't working anymore. What's going on? So much so that I stopped my own business for a while. I started referring people somewhere else. And I said, I'm not going to focus on fitness and fat loss anymore because I started not believing it was true. It wasn't until I interrupted myself getting into this decline and said, wait a minute, what did I always teach people? I'm skipping a step now. I used to teach people, we have to make a decision. We want a different reality. So I literally made a decision that this was not going to be my reality. I'm not going to decline like this. And that created the next reaction to that decision, which is, I have to be a health detective. I've decided this is not going to be my reality. So now I get to figure out why is this happening to me and what can I do about it? And I'm not going to just take no for an answer. And it wasn't until I started really getting into that health detective mode that everything changed. My body bounced back better than it was before. And I started looking at it through a different lens. So I'll stand on that hill of we have to make a decision and believe it's possible first. Sometimes women message me and they say, I've tried everything. Nothing works. My genetic issue, my diagnosis, they give me all these things. And I will say back to them, do you believe that's your new reality? And if they say yes, I can't help them. Now, if they say, I'm being told these things, but I don't believe it's my reality, that's my person. Because now I see that you're willing to shift your mindset and your focus, and we can fix that.
Yeah, I think that's so true. I mean, psychologically, you have to literally stop yourself from, because part of your brain wants to say, like, yeah, I'm older, I should retire, I should pull back, I should do less, why should I put myself out there? Like, I deserve to rest. But that's literally like rusting and rotting, and like you can't give up on yourself. I really feel. But you're right, there are two populations of people, those that just let themselves go, they're like, this is the decay and the decline, and that we're going to become decrepit. And then there's those that are like, hell no, this
Think
can't
about
be
somebody
reality.
that comes into you for their face or their skincare. And I'm
Yeah.
just like, I mean, I know you see this, and I don't even treat patients for this. And I can say, I'm sure you see this. You see two camps of people. You see people that come in and they have a vision. And they're like, I want to feel better. I want to like, let's explore, let's experiment, let's
Yeah.
try. What do you recommend? And then you have people that come in and go, nothing works for me. I had a bad
Yeah.
reaction to this. I had a bad reaction to that.
Yeah.
This nothing works. This is just everything's falling, and I don't have this. And I'm sure that those clients are not ever happy. So,
It's so true. And then you have the super unrealistic clients too that want to
true.
like have a wand and I'm going to turn back time. And I'm
And that
like,
happens with fat loss too, for sure. Like, we
it
can't just
does,
do it
right?
instant,
Yeah.
but it's that belief set of what do you believe is possible and what do you want possible? Then we can figure it out. And I'm pretty sure too, your favorite patients are, this is what I'm hoping for. What do you recommend? I'm willing to try. Like that, then you're, it's like a,
They're
that's
open
fun.
to, they're open to the possibilities and they want to use the technology. Like, tell me tips and tricks to look my best. Like, there's so many things you can do, but you have to trust the process too. There's a whole process.
Absolutely.
It's an evolution of where you are and what you want to become. But I think I really like the concept that you talk about fat loss instead of weight loss. Can you explain the difference and why that distinction matters, especially in midlife?
Yeah, so weight loss just means your scale number's going down. You're shrinking, your scale number's going down. It has nothing to do with how are we actually losing this weight. So if we rapidly lose weight, there's lots of ways to rapidly lose weight. However, number one, it's not sustainable. Two, we are losing muscle, we are losing water, and I'm not so concerned about the water weight. I think that sometimes it's good to lose water initially. Like it helps us not feel bloated. It helps get us motivated. But when we start losing muscle, we have a problem. When we start losing muscle, not only are we going to change how we physically look, because muscle takes up less space than fat and it looks better, you are going to look that more toned. But when we lose muscle, we're also at risk for fractures, for falls, for structural issues. And this is when we also start having bone loss. So muscle loss is not what we want. I also want to share that the more muscle you have, not only the more functional is your body, but the more calories your body actually burns at rest, which means your metabolism is going to work better. So when we look at reducing a number on the scale, we're missing the whole piece. We want to look at how do we reduce fat and maintain muscle.
I think that's so critical. And there are different techniques at each age for building muscle, right? Is it the same for everybody? Can I build muscle when I'm same as when I was 30, now that I'm 50?
Some rules apply the same and some do not. So for example, muscle is muscle. Like in order to grow muscle, you have to have some type of resistance training, you have to have some type of progressive overload, and you have to feed it. We cannot build muscle without enough calories, without enough protein, without the right carbs. We can't build muscle without creating a resistance and progressive overload. So that doesn't change. However, what does change as we age is a few variables. Number one, how we work out changes because as your hormones are shifting, as we're aging, some workouts that maybe worked in your 30s and 40s, they start being counterproductive in our late 40s and 50s. For instance, an example of that would be high intensity training. We are changing as we age. High intensity training could end up affecting your adrenals, your cortisol, how you recover. A lot of things start changing. So if you're listening, you're like, no, but it's working for me. I'm not trying to change you. But if you're saying things stopped working for me and I just keep working out harder and what's going on, that could very well be a variable that's not working anymore. The other thing that changes is injuries start to catch up. So let's just say, for example, you have an injury in your body that you've dealt with, but you have also subtly and subconsciously retrained your body not to use that area. What's happening is you're no longer completely functional. Let me give you an example. Let's just say you hurt something in your back and you do all the things you can, but you don't actually like structurally fix it. Now your body starts overcompensating. You're using different muscles, different parts of your body. So next thing you know, now your knee starts hurting. So now subconsciously, as you're walking, you're adjusting your gait because your knee's hurting. Now your ankle starts hurting. So now we go to lift weights or work out and we are not doing it on a stable, functional body as we age, and we're more likely to get injured and not actually work as hard. So those are the kinds of things that definitely do change as we age.
I think that's really incredible knowledge, and I wish someone would give me a workout plan. I struggle. You know what the hardest part is like just getting started. Like I see the rectangular shape happening in my midsection, and I want to have like the most efficient workout I could possibly have. And it's I think it's super intimidating sometimes to take that first step. Like I keep talking, I'm putting it out there in the universe. Like this is the year I'm going to build muscle and begin
I
training.
love
I
that.
just don't even like I push myself to do sit-ups, push-ups, and squats. So far, that's
Yeah,
my first step,
that's
and I think
great. That's great.
lifting my own body weight is going to be challenging enough.
So workouts are actually, to me, not the priority. They're important. It's not the priority. To me, the priority goes first, mindset and belief set. So what am I deciding that I want for myself? What's the reason? And then I have a whole formula that I'll take clients through. So it's not just a decision. It's what's the vision you have for yourself? Because this is important. Because I'd ha like if you were a client of mine, I'd have to understand like what's the vision? Like what does that mean? Is it because you want to be more mobile? You want to be out of pain? What's your vision if it's a year from now? What are we fitting into? What's our are we wanting to go hike some crazy mountain? Like I'd have to understand the vision. So when we get clear on a vision, we get very clear on how to make it happen. For instance, when you went to medical school, it probably wasn't exciting every day to go to medical school, but you were very clear, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be a surgeon. You knew the vision, which made you get through it. If you were just going to go because someone said you have to go to school with no vision, it would have been very challenging. It's the same thing with our bodies. So deciding first, getting clear on your vision. And then there's lots of little tricks that I take people through. Some one thing I call is like your driving core motivator. It's your reason behind the reason. Because if we're not attached to that, it's very hard to stay motivated and go work out. After we've established all of that and we're working from a solid foundation, then we've got to look at nutrition. Nutrition is key. And it's not what you're thinking. It's not, we've got to be strict and eat chicken and broccoli. No, it's, I teach nutrition very different from that. What do we need for our goals? What do we need for our vision? How do we fuel our body? Are we navigating pain? How do we eat to get away from that? Is the issue harm? Like, how do we look at that? After we've looked at nutrition, then I get into detective mode with people. And detective mode is all the areas. It's your hormone, your gut, your thyroid. It's all those areas. And that is where we start really looking at movement too, because movement is part of that detective area. For some people, just starting to walk is the first step. For others, it's going to be resistance training. For some, it's something more challenging. It really is customized, but it has to go in order and it has to make sense for your vision.
Well, maybe I think my problem is I just generally want to be a healthy older individual. Like I picture the things I do now as most important to craft who I'm going to be in the future. Maybe I need to have a more directed goal, like I'm going to climb Mount Whitney this year or something.
Exactly. Okay, and
Like
you're
it's
saying
such a
exactly
broad
that.
thing of like I want to, the next 20 years to be like strong and mobile and
Right.
flexible, but that's like so vague. Maybe I just need a direct thing.
It is definitely that. It's not even a direct, like, I'm going to go climb Mount Whitney. It would be more, I would have you get a lot more specific with that. So I would say, okay, you want to be healthy and strong and active for what? What does that feel like? And what would you be doing? And how would you be spending your day? And what does that mean? Does that like I it's getting that granular on what that actually means and where is the end result? Just like you knew I'd be opening a practice or I would be working on, you had the vision. If we don't have the vision, we're just going through motions. Of course, we're not going to stick to it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I definitely want to have those arms like yours because
Yeah.
I walk into a room and I see some of my athletic women patients. They just look so vibrant. Like there's something about the look of having muscles that maintains youthfulness throughout the aging
Yeah.
process. Not only is it functional, but it's also like the most attractive state for the human condition,
So,
you
for
know?
example, when you go to the gym right now, if you go to the gym, I don't, do you go to a gym right now? Do you know?
No, but
No,
my husband
okay.
put all kinds of gym equipment in our
Okay.
basement over COVID and
So,
it's just sitting
when
there.
you go into your basement right now and you're like, oh, I have to do a workout. All right. I don't feel like this. There's other things I want to do. I don't
Yeah,
like how my
kind of.
arms look. I don't, this is, that is not motivating. And of course,
My
you're not going to stick to
exact
that.
speech that's going on in my
Okay.
head.
Right.
Exactly.
So if we did this, if before you even think about that, if you had a time in the day that you could try this, you could report back that you're like, okay, every morning at this time, or you find the time that you could have worked out or you could, and you say, at this time, I'm going to put some music on. I'm going to pull out a journal. I'm going to close my eyes, whatever. I'm going to envision what I want my body to look like and why I want it to look like that. And I'm going to like actually picture myself walking into a room or walking on stage, showing, wearing a tank top or whatever it is. And I can see my arms, I can see my triceps, I can see, and now I'm at the grocery store and I can see myself carrying all the bags in one trip. And this is going to be cool. And oh, wow, I'm meeting dinner, having dinner with friends. And some of my friends are like, holy cow, what are you doing? Your arms look so good. And you're like pumping yourself up that way. And now you're like, okay. I'm there. Now there's 10 extra minutes. Okay, I'm gonna go crush some arms from that space. That is a very different place to be.
You're so right. I'm very sure that we none of us take the time to do that until you get taught to think like that. What are some of your non-negotiables in terms of nutrition for women in midlife? You're a
My
big believer
non,
in
yes, that's a great
protein, I
question.
know.
So my
Yeah.
non-negotiable is that 95% of your diet has to be unprocessed natural real foods. So it's as simple as that. It's real foods that once grew. If you focus that 95% of what I'm adding in my body is that is my first non-negotiable. I'm not even talking portions or calories or macros, anything yet. If you just start focusing on natural, real, unprocessed foods, that would be my first non-negotiable. My second one is we've got to think protein first. And if we do not have protein, we cannot build muscle. We can't control our insulin. We can't regulate A1C. We can't do anything great unless we are really looking at protein. So my second non-negotiable would be eating more protein. We've got to make sure we're getting in enough and more protein. My third thing would be to get really clear on what you don't love about how you feel and get really, If you take either take my word for it or go research it yourself. I'm not interested in arguing with people why they think grains and dairy and sugar are amazing. They create inflammation in our bodies. If you are like my husband and you don't have one negative marker on your blood work and you are a freak of nature and you have zero issues, you can eat as much of that as you want. No problem. But for most women that are saying they've got pain and inflammation and they're puffy, there's no place for those in our diet. We should not be focusing on grains and dairy and sugar. They are making you miserable. So when someone challenges me, I say either you're like my husband and that's great, keep doing you, or how do you know until you try? I don't care about the research. Try, take it out of your diet for a week or two and then report back to me.
Honestly, the day you put it back in your diet, you will feel a difference. I tried for a whole 6 months to eat very keto, like very much greens and veggies and protein all Monday to Friday, like 80% good and 20% bad on the weekends. And the day I have the pizza and the pasta, like you literally feel the joint
That's
inflammation
right.
kick in.
That's right.
So
So
you're right. You absolutely have to do that little experiment on yourself.
To just try, you try it. And by eating unprocessed natural foods, you're taking a lot of the junk out anyway, which is great. But well, I can't tell you how many women that are like, I don't know what's wrong with me. And then I'm like, what is your diet? Well, I have oatmeal for breakfast. And then I have, a yogurt. I'm like, okay, right there. That's what's wrong. This is what's wrong. So again, not trying to argue. So everybody's so unique, like when we get into the detective work, everyone's unique. So exactly what you should eat is different than what I should eat. Exactly what you said, like general non-negotiables, like what would actually help. That's what I was sharing. But yes,
Yeah.
some people thrive on grains and dairy and beans and all that. That's amazing for you.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't thrive on that.
Do you think women do better on ketone energy? I'm recently
Sometimes, again, it's an
more
it
about that.
depends.
Yeah.
I am not, I don't personally eat in a keto way. I don't teach in a keto way. Some people do. I do think we thrive with longer space between meals, with intermittent fasting, with I call it modified fasting, giving your body a break. When we graze all day long, we're not doing our bodies any favors. We are constantly secreting insulin, and the more you're secreting insulin, the less you're burning fat. And we're raising our blood sugar. We want our A1Cs to be very low. And when you're getting into the mid fives and higher, we are eating too much and too many starches, and we're not combining with protein and fats and fibers.
How do you think that hormones kind of play into that question in terms of like fat loss and nutritional requirements and things?
Hormones are extremely important, and I'm a big fan of bioidentical hormones, by the way. So I'm not against hormone replacement, I'm a fan of it. However, it shouldn't be the first step. If you try to add hormone replacement when you haven't dialed in your nutrition and your movement and your mindset, then we're going to have a problem. I also don't think we should add hormone replacement until we've addressed our gut and our thyroid. So, gut and thyroid first, because everything's going to get processed through there. Once we've dialed, we're eating well, we're moving our bodies, we are clear on our intentions, we've optimized our thyroid, we've looked at that. We've looked at our gut health and how we're processing things. Then absolutely we look at hormones and we can tweak that. Do I think the hormones are the cause of everything? Hormones absolutely change. I'm not, so we have a decline in estrogen. There's all kinds of things there. But to think we're just going to go take hormones and fix it all is not the answer unless we're optimizing the other areas too.
This year, we've seen such a resurgence in popularity of the menopause conversation. Why do you think that that has happened?
I love that. I love that that has. I don't know that it ever really didn't happen. Here's my theory on it. I think we're just aging, and so we're noticing more. Because I know people say that, but I feel like every age group says that when they get there. So yeah, of course, before I was in menopause, I didn't hear much about menopause. So I hear a lot about it now because I'm in it. So
Yeah.
that's my thought. So I don't know. People might have different opinions, but I think we just start noticing what we're walking through.
I think with Gen X becoming like the biggest portion of the population in this next few years, that's going to remain a really important conversation because we feel like we're very vital individuals, and yet our bodies are going through those changes that need to
Agree.
be addressed. And it's going to be interesting to see how this generation of women ages differently because of taking on hormones a little bit earlier, because the conversation is so loud right now that you almost can't avoid it.
And because of, I think, social media and the vast ability, the way that you can download podcasts and YouTube and a million TV channels. Like when you think when we were growing up, we had three TV channels. and a radio
I
station.
honestly, right? Those were
Right.
the
And then you'd go get like the same five magazines, right? So unless it was in those things, we didn't hear. And the problem was the media kind of controlled that youth is a thing. So I think that has another, that's another big area, is that it's so easy to access information and communicate with people now.
That's very true. What advice do you give to women who feel like they've let themselves go and they're worried that it's like it's too late?
Well, do you want it to be too late? And are you open to changing your story around that? Because I don't believe it's ever too late. We there's
Maybe they don't know
amazing.
where to start. Maybe
Yeah.
somewhere they should start.
So the first thing I think you should do is make a decision that you want something different for yourself. That might sound really basic and it might annoy you when I say that, but really make a decision, because making a decision is not saying, oh, I heard a podcast and they said, or I'm feeling bad, or my doctor said that. Making a decision is, I've decided that I want to change my reality here. I want to, that would be step one. And step two is start getting like to fantasize and daydream about what it is that you might want for yourself. Like, what would that future version of you look like? What could that be? So getting clear on that. And then it's not trying to do everything at one time. Not trying to do, like I usually push people towards my the 7-day jumpstart first, because it's just like a basic breakdown of how to eat on process, how to take baby steps and to start getting into motion. But when we try to do everything and like, I'm gonna go carnivore, I'm gonna go vegan, or I'm gonna give up this, or I'm gonna go that, it's too much. And our brains can't do too much at one time. So let's make a decision, start thinking about the vision, and then take a baby step and just start moving in the right direction.
I love that idea. Are there any supplements or biohacks, longevity hacks that you're personally really into right now?
Oh my gosh, there's so many. And if you don't mind, I'll even give you a little link. But I update, it's called, if you go to ageoptimizer.com, I update my list of supplements and biohacks every quarter, because I change what I'm learning. I hate the word biohacking. I call it age optimizing, because I don't want to hack anything. I just want to optimize what works. So there's lots of things I do. There's definitely some key supplements that I take. I'm very focused on some of the nice age optimizing tools, but I will tell you that there's a few things that don't cost any money and are just available to us that I think everyone needs to pay attention to. One is, and this is going to be interesting talking to a beauty doctor with that knows dermatology and face, but I think we need a little bit of natural sunlight. We need to get
I
outside a little bit.
agree. Oh my gosh.
So I
Oh.
think people have gotten very scared of the sun. I'm not saying go fry your skin or tan it or even sun, none of that. But I'm saying you got to get a little natural light in you every day, stepping outside, getting sun in your eyes, getting sun on your, just, I do 15 minutes a day. I just, in the morning, walk outside, make sure sun's hitting me. You feel so different. We need the sun. There's also just walking is like one of the best age optimizing things you could do. Also free. Are we walking? Next, are we hydrating? Most people are not hydrating enough. So just drinking enough water. People can roll their eyes at like these basic things, but my question back is, but are you doing them? Because most people are not. They're not hydrating enough. They're not walking and they're not getting outside in the sun. So those things right there are key. And then after that, yes, supplements I do think are very important. I don't believe we can get everything from our diet. But it's not as an extreme supplement regimen as you think. Like there's certain things we all need. Like I think all women are pretty deficient in vitamin D. We need vitamin D, and you need it to be with vitamin K2 in order to make that work. Really important. Magnesium is another one we tend to be really lacking on. We all need magnesium. Very, very important. I think we all need to be looking at things like collagen, very important. Collagen, having a protein supplement if you're not eating enough protein, also very important. I love things like glutathione. I think that's another, it's a master antioxidant. I don't believe we get enough of that, most people, and you're not going to get enough of that. I'm also a huge fan of polyphenols. So polyphenols are basically what you would get if you ate a mega dose of fruits and vegetables. So if you're not eating that, making taking those things, taking polyphenols and being really aware of that. And I'm trying to think what there's a lot of things that I take. Minerals. I think minerals are huge. I think many of us, we have trillions of cells in our bodies and we're pretty mineral depleted. But I do at ageoptimizer.com have literally, like, I list every single thing that I'm doing and I'm always revamping it every quarter.
I love that. I think all of those things that you mentioned are so important. I would agree with each and every one of them. And then, are you doing NAD, NAD precursors?
Great question. Yeah. So I know there's a lot of buzz about NAD and NMN, which is like the precursor to that. Here's what I think is missing from that. I think for some people, it's hugely beneficial. Depending on our DNA and our markers, some people actually, it can be overkill for them. So, and I'm one of those people, by the way. If we have slower mitochondrial function genetically, when you take something like NAD right away, it's like putting gasoline in a bicycle. Like it's almost too much, and you'll feel shaky or nauseous or too stimulant. It's a little bit of overkill, and your body doesn't know what to do with it. So I like people to go kind of back a few steps. Sometimes NMN is great for people. Sometimes it's still a little too strong. You can go back even further and do things like MitoPure. MitoPure creates urolithin A in your body, which is like another precursor to that. Or even more basic is polyphenols. So doing polyphenols, doing CoQ10, doing quercetin, like some things like that will also help kick your mitochondria up without it being overkill. So I don't know that everybody needs NAD transfusions or some of those.
Yeah, I think it's nice to start with just oral supplementation. And I always think bring on one supplement per month.
Yes, I agree.
Really slowly integrate it, really assess if it's changing or helping or tweaking any of your baseline symptoms, and then add
Super
from there.
important.
Because you can throw the kitchen sink at it, you won't know what's working at all.
No, we have to really listen to how does this affect me?
Yeah,
Everything
exactly.
affects everyone differently. I mean, like no, I know I was taking I got on the NAD train, like, and I was injecting it at home. Like I was like, oh, and I started having panic attacks. I'm like, why am I having, what's going on? I've never
Yeah.
had panic attacks. And come to find out that I have this marker in my DNA that doesn't do well with that. Well, how would I have known that? So we just have to listen to our bodies. Just because you see an influencer or an ad or someone tells you do this, you still have to assess in your own body.
Yeah, our bodies are very intelligent. The biology of how we were created is pretty damn amazing. So I think when you try to do too much and over supplement and overdo these treatments, you can also go the exact wrong way.
A
Did
hundred
you do
percent.
it like a DNA methylation test, or what test did
I did, I've done it many times, different DNA tests. The most recent one I did through a friend of mine. His name is Cash, but he used to own the DNA company. It's not so much just doing the DNA, it's having someone that knows how to interpret it. So you have to dig a little bit to understand. And I don't necessarily think people need to go right away to that. That's not the first thing. I think the most important thing from that conversation is listen to your body. So if something doesn't feel right, you question it. Sometimes things are too strong for people. One of the issues with the whole biohacking world, and I guess I kind of fall into that. Like, I definitely talk and have a lot of guests on my show about biohacks. So I see where this, what happens here. But what happens is a lot of the biohackers, they're like extreme healthy, right? So they're like this top echelon, and they're taking something like, this is a great for me. But what we have to look at is not everybody is completely optimized like that. So there's a lot of steps before that that we have to look at. And it's dangerous to go just this one pill or one thing. So a lot of the supplements and things I recommend are very gentle, and it's something that we all could use, like minerals. Minerals are not going to hurt people, right? We all
Yeah.
need them. Vitamin C, that's another one I didn't mention, not going to hurt people. A lot of people are deficient in vitamin C, vitamin D. Also, but same with even something natural like vitamin D, you can overdo that. You can, if you take too much vitamin D, you'll start having issues with liver. So there's a lot of, a lot of nuances.
That's so true. On my podcast, I talk a lot about exploring how internal health shows up on your skin and how like that your beauty truly is reflected by what you are internally. Has your skin changed during midlife? And what
Yes.
favorite skin and self-care rituals are you doing right
Yes.
now?
Oh
And
my
I
gosh.
definitely have to send you my skincare
Yes,
coming
I can't wait to try it. So, well, first of all, I'm going to take ownership that I was tanorexic in my teens and 20s, and I went to tanning beds, and I wish I could rewind doing that, because I wasn't just 15 minutes in the sun. I was like literally tanorexic. So I was addicted to the sun, and what came out in my 40s is lots and lots of brown spots on my skin, lots of them, that are nothing gets those off. If you have some miracle thing that gets them off, I'm open to trying. I feel like I've done like the IPL, I've done laser, I've done the Alexandra, I've done so much burning of my spots, they just come right back. So that's one. But I also noticed after 50, when I went into menopause, really like the crepiness changes. Like my skin has that crepey, the fine line crepey that I just don't want. And I don't I wish there was a way to really change that. The only thing that I have found that has made any, there's a couple things that have made, I think, a difference. Not like a night and day before and after that would wow people, but I can see a subtle difference is a few things. One, I started using OneSkin for my body. And that's a, they have an OS01 peptide that I think is making a subtle difference. I also use a lot of castor oil. So I'll take castor oil, I'll actually mix it with lotion, and I'll put that on every day, slather. And then I also do a lot of infrared sauna with the red light. And I think that combination, there is research showing that it helps. Do I think it's going to reverse me to 20-year-old skin? Absolutely not. My hope is just to not keep it going as in a decline. I also think estrogen replacement is really critical if we want to stop our skin from declining like that. But I'm not the dermatologist and I'm not the doctor, so you probably have way better tips than I just rattled off.
No, those are all great tips. I think red light is probably the most scientific one there, that that's really going to improve like nitric oxide levels in your skin and improve circulation, and you'll see a big difference with that too. What do you think about aging gracefully or aggressively treating now that we have all these treatments and like really staying on top of the aging process?
So I think that people should get to age how they want to age. So I don't have any judgment. If you want to age completely, do nothing, or you want to do all the things and fix it all, I would say I am a middle ground, probably leaning up towards the fix it all. I am
Well,
definitely not an all natural situation over here. I'm all for it. I mean, I
you're
just,
beautiful. Whatever you're doing, it's working.
thank you. I mean, I shared publicly recently about getting an upper eye and a lower eye bleph and a fat transfer there. I am sure, I will do a lot more. You know, I don't, I'm the way that I like to think about it is if it's affecting my life, if it's affecting how I show up, then it's important for me to take a look at that. So I don't like to do everything at one time. I'm that person that every few years I'll do like a little tweak. And then it's, to me, that's the way that I like to do it. I don't see myself doing like a full do everything at one time. I do things as they're coming up for me. I do treatments, things like IPL or microneedling. I like to experiment. What I don't actually do in me, and I know you're a huge fan of them, Dr. K, maybe I just would have to try with you. I don't do any filler. I've not done any filler. I'm scared of that. I'm scared of what I see people looking like with filler. I'm scared of it migrating. I know that you said that that's just more technique and the surgeon. So I'm not necessarily against it for other people. I've just been scared of that.
I think that we see so much bad work out there that people relate that to what it is. But like, my clients all look great, and it's placement, surgical placement, precision. There's a lot of finesse involved, and I think that there are too many injectors out there that don't know what they're doing. So
I think it's also key that like you're a surgeon, because I think what ha a lot of people go to med spas, and I'm not saying anything against med spas. I'm sure there's amazing people, but I think it's a little bit different having a facial surgeon doing that than, you know, just than anyone, I think, I would imagine.
it's very different. And I also really love to use collagen stimulators. So I would say more than half of my practice is using products that grow your own collagen. So
Oh,
your
that's
skin
amazing.
kind of remains firm and taut. It's very invisible and it's very long lasting. Like collagen can last 10 years when you trigger new collagen growth. So it's the kind of thing that my patients, I think, are going to not need surgery until they reach literally their late 60s. And I think that's such a valuable thing. Like,
That's
no
amazing.
woman really wants to have surgery, like, including me. Like,
No.
surgery, maybe,
Well,
yeah, someday, but do I want to have surgery? No, I don't want to have surgery. And so I
see,
have that philosophy.
I've actually a surgery. This is funny, but I mean, I've now granted, I've had a lot of surgeries. It's kind of like a joke in my family now. Not all cosmetic, but I've had, you know, I had five boob jobs between the age of 19 and 30. Sorry, for 32 years. I had, and then now I had an explant finally. But I, you know, I had a nose job when I was 16, 15 years old, 15 years old. Yeah. So I've been, but I also have had injuries, bicep tear, lower back. Like I've had my share. So I'm not scared of surgery. Why I kind of like facial surgery, if you have an amazing doctor, if you've got the right surgeon, is to me, it's restorative. It's like bringing you back to what you were, where when we just, and again, I'm not the expert, I'm just saying my Natalie's opinion here. If we just use filler and toxins or whatever, that's not truly like bringing you back to what you were. But when you can actually do a surgery and fix the structure, I think it ends up looking more natural. Now, granted, if you do too many things or it's not a great surgeon, that could be an opposite problem. But I feel like if you go to the right surgeon, I have so many friends, they look so good because it's subtle little things they did.
It's definitely the best permanent solution for, with surgical change. And when When you need to tighten and trim, there's no other option. Like, we certainly don't want to take laxity and drooping and gravity changes and just fill them in a low, heavy position. That's the wrong thing to do. So, surgery definitely has a role, but I think with good maintenance, like, this generation of women's going to age differently and require surgery
For
at
sure.
hopefully different ages. But a good bleph takes 10 years off your face. It
And
really,
when,
it makes you think, like, why did I wait so long? And like a mini at the right age can get you through your 50s. And then to do a, when your neck starts to bother you, that's when we're going to do a full face and then flip.
So when I did my bleph, the surgeon was like, "Do you want to do a brow lift too?" And he kind of showed me, how that would make a difference, but it was going to be subtle. But I said no, and not because it wouldn't look amazing, but I thought I want, for me, gradual things. So I'm like, let me start with eyes. I can always go back in and do that if I need to, but I didn't want to just all of a sudden go change all the things. So that's just how I choose to do it, like little things at a time.
I love that. It's the right approach, I think, for most people, actually. It's not intimidating. You can kind of gradually, you retain your identity. You don't want to change, like, that's the scary part about surgery, is changing your facial identity a little bit more than you expect. But it's all such an art. I think it's really important that people research who the surgeon is, who the injector is. Like, you want to know who their beauty muses are in their head. What does beauty look like? Because I don't know, half the guys out there, I wouldn't let them put eyeliner on me. Let them touch me with a scalpel, because they don't know what beauty is. And my definition of beauty is way different from theirs. So it's really an important process to get to know that when you're finding someone to take care of your face, I think.
I had no interest in having anyone touch my face that was not a facial plastic surgeon. Like, that's what I looked for. So to me, I love my doctor that did my explant. He's amazing for explant, but he had said, "Well, I could have done the eye thing." I'm like, "I know you could have done it, but I don't, that's not what I'm choosing. I want someone that does them all day long."
Exactly. Well, Natalie, with like a your huge community of over 3 million followers and your podcast, which I think is so important, the Midlife Conversations, what messages do you think that women most need to hear right now?
Gosh, what do they need to hear right now? Well, one, that you're not alone. I mean, there's so many women going through exactly what you're walking through. I know you might think you're alone, but there's other women going through what you're walking through. My advice is not to stay in an echo chamber of what's wrong. So if you've got a whole circle of friends telling you aging sucks, and you're right, that sucks, and listening to you complain, and that is not going to support you. Get the next level. Find a level up of people that are actually stepping in and becoming what you want. And that's how you're going to thrive and truly change your life, change your body, change your health. I'm considering this an yet another, it'll be like surgery 13, another surgery for my back. That's a whole nother long story. But I had mentioned to a friend this morning, she's like, "I saw you talking about this, that you might do this disc replacement, and I'm worried about you." And I left her a message back and I said, "Please do not send me a message that you're worried about me. I appreciate you, but don't send that. That's not the energy I want. I am good. I don't want to talk about what could go wrong or why you're worried or why that you're sorry I have to do this. No, that's not the energy." And she's like, "Totally got it." And that is, I have to use to train people. Like, I don't want people to say, "You're right, that sucks." Or I want people that are like, "You're going to be stronger than ever." Or, "You're going to, that is what I want." So whatever you're navigating in your life, look for that energy that's going to get you where you want to go, not to commiserate with you and bring you down.
So important. Let's do some fun rapid fire things to wrap things up. What is one food you'll never eat again?
Olives, gross. I don't
Really?
know how people eat olives. I think they're disgusting. If
Wouldn't
it
talk.
touched my food, I have to send it back. I can't.
That is hysterical. Okay, your top beauty product that you can't live without.
Oh gosh, top beauty product I can't live without. That's a hard one. Okay, I'll say highlighter because I like having
Yeah,
glowy
me
skin.
too. Actually, me too. I really enjoy using that lately. What's your current fitness obsession?
Lifting heavy. I used to teach only body weight, and I'm really part of why I want to have my disc replacement is I cannot physically squat anymore because I have no disc, zero between L5 S1. It ruptured out. So I would say my current obsession is lifting heavy. I am obsessed with how can I build more muscle in my 50s because I want to be super mobile and fit in my 90s. So that is my current obsession.
Amazing. And your favorite kind of quote or mantra that keeps you going?
Excuses are solutions, you decide. That's mine. I made it up years ago and I still live by it. Excuses are solutions, you decide, because I believe we should all be living in possibility, not problem. and opportunity, not circumstance. So I remind myself of that all the time.
And that's a great one to keep in our heads going forward in this midlife conversation. So, well, I think that was such an amazing talk. I hope that patients and clients can reach out and find you. Do you do like private counseling
I
and
do.
one on one?
I do. I do. Total Body Thrive is my signature program where you actually can get a group experience and really get all of my best information in Total Body Thrive. I also have 7-day jumpstart, the 7-day jumpstart. It's a book form, but I also have an electronic, an amazing program around that, which is like, I just want to start something. I do take one-on-one clients, very few. I take maybe 10 a year. I'm very selective. Not only do you'd have to be a candidate for that, I'd have to really believe that you're open to changing and thinking outside the box and doing that. But yes, I do work with maybe 10 a year where I will private coach them with all of this.
Awesome. And where can people find you on the gram and check out the book
Yeah,
you've written?
great. Natalie Jill Fit on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok, kind of. I'm not as active as I should be there. My podcast is Midlife Conversations, and my website is nataliejill.com.
Awesome. And you're tell us again that supplement site, the
Oh,
optimal.
ageoptimizer.com. And I'll send you that too. I believe it's ageoptimizer.com. I think that's the right link. And I have a free supplement guide that I always have available. I update it all the time. Every quarter. It's actually ageoptimizer.com. And that is where you can get my free supplement guide. I keep all my little biohacks in there. Every quarter I update it.
Awesome. We'll have to check that out. I'll put that in the show notes. Well, guys, that's it for now. Don't forget to check out Natalie Jill and her amazing podcast and conversations. When I met her in person, I knew this was someone with the energy that I want is around me, motivating me in this decade of life. And I know you're going to get a lot of info from her. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, DrKay. That's where you can find me doing amazing things with people's faces. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. I'm going to send you some amazing skincare and our internal radiance collagen peptides, which are the best collagen peptides. They
Can't
have
wait.
that Verisol and Fortabone, which are clinically proven to improve bone density and skin. My favorite that I use every day. And that's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful. Keep that proper mindset. And excuses are, say it
Excuses
again.
or solutions, you decide.
Are solutions that you decide for your life. That's great advice to end on. Thanks so much, Natalie. That's
Thank
it for
you.
now, guys. Stay beautiful.